Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, here we go. Championship rounds. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 the game, live from Chase Center, Mission Bay, San Francisco. They've got a radio row laid out. Fantastic chicken sandwiches, so we can continue on with the Popeyes Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich debate. We've got owner Joe Lacob coming up in 15 minutes. I am applying for the role of Lacob lackey. I'm trying to mooch off him this season. We will see how that plays out. Kevon Looney at 9:30. We're going right to the dial pad guest line right now. Man who needs no introduction. He looks fantastic. What's the official title these days? It's like you're linked as the GM, but you got the promotion. President of Basketball Ops, Bob Myers, with us here on 95.7 The Game.
That's about right. That's about right.
There we go.
So
good.
Great.
Enough. Good enough.
How's your summer treating you?
Good, man. It was July was kind of hectic, but
you don't say.
Yeah, there you go. It was, but the good news, our sport, unlike baseball, where free agency just drags and drags, right. it was done fast. Not all of it, but the yeoman's work was done in early July. The whole league. You guys right. saw how much money was spent. I think it's kind of too fast from where I sit, but it is what it is. And then it kind of slowed down, but getting Kevon done and doing some stuff later on, Willie Cauley-Stein. And then we're doing a lot of coaching stuff and just this. So it's busy. Busy.
Do you have any say over what your office was going to look like here?
Great question.
Yeah.
Well,
we
can
I
go
know.
See it after there.
Yeah.
Go see it. Low, yes. Low can come. Just low.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
No,
it
takes,
one of the
takes too much abuse here. I got to be honest. I listen to you guys.
Now, I love this. You're one of the billions?
You know what? Not one of the billions.
That's right. What do you mean by too much?
He's
like
just,
a tiny bit too much or like a whole.
Make it plain. Thank you.
He's a good sport. It's just, it's fine. Sometimes it's just too much. It seems like a nice guy.
Oh, I love this guy.
It's interesting. It seems like a nice guy.
Boss man, here's this.
Yeah. Myers, let me tell you something. He doesn't set the rundown. So you guys get off to a slow start this year.
Listen.
You're going to be calling him. Hey, we need some favorable coverage.
Listen.
I don't have any say over it.
Hey. I heard you're applying for this job. Yeah. I know Lacob. I can help with that.
Okay.
Lackey deal.
Yeah. Okay. So now here's what it is. I am not beneath shilling or anything that you may need. I will sink to the lowest of the lows. This place is beautiful and living a block away. I want full access. So whatever it's going to take.
Yes.
I am not below groveling.
Yes.
Whatever you need.
If that doesn't work, I'll take care. Not a lackey, but I'll get you tickets or something like that.
Yeah,
if the Lacob lackey thing doesn't play.
Do you need a lackey?
No, I'm good.
All right.
I need a baby.
So do I, man. Come on. So do I. I'm bringing the little one to Monday Night Raw in a few weeks.
Great.
That's
going
to be the first thing he's going to see here. We got seats right there. Section 4, right there. Monday
Night Raw.
Is that
okay? For how old is your...
Two and a half.
Is that going to be...
2.5 is pretty good.
He's already got him, hitting his little brother with pillows.
Okay,
coming
so
off
he's
the top
raising one of those.
Yeah. He climbs up on the couch. He knows the Macho Man, so he gets up and he does the number ones. And to my wife's dismay, he's been doing that every day. He's doing it naked because of potty training.
Wow.
So it's a whole thing. That's what I'm dealing with.
Your wife's a good human being.
She's great. The best.
Nikki, you got a good wife.
Nikki
it's not a better half. Like, she's the better full.
You did a good
and
job.
And then I'm the crap left over that goes out and works every now and again.
That was actually part of their wedding vows.
Yeah. I had that written in. Yeah, I'm borrowing from myself here.
Let me get this thing back on track.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Lo.
My
appreciate
goodness.
That, Lo.
Yeah, this should be good.
Thank you.
How big was it and how important was it for you guys to sign Looney and Draymond?
Good question.
It was big. We don't have the amount of continuity. We had so much continuity for the last four or five years, which is great. Which is, you want that that familiarity amongst, especially in basketball, where it's one ball, you got to get to know each other's nuances. And,
sure.
But very quickly, we saw most of the team go away. And so Looney gave us a chance to have some of that continuity with Clay, Draymond, and Steph. And Steve loves – we all love Looney, and it's been great to watch him evolve from when we drafted him, change his body, been through a couple injuries. And prior to signing Looney, I remember I was in New York because I had to go out there to see Kevin, and I couldn't get back here because free agency was happening. So I couldn't get on a plane for 5 hours because that's too much time to be right. unavailable, even though you can text and everything on a plane. I remember where I was sitting. I was walking in Central Park, and I hadn't really slept. That was the night free agency began, and I was talking to Steve, and Steve was all the way in Hawaii, so he was 6 hours away from me. So he said, hey, we were talking. He said, we got to get Looney. And I said, we'll just hang on. I go, it's July 1st. Man. I go, it's July 1st.
To do this
I said, it's July 1st. I said, I get it. And, and I could tell in his voice, you know, coaches no. have guys, right? And that's great. They, and
blue guys.
Steve, yeah, he was like, I got no maintenance, smart player, knows the plays. Our vets in those three guys, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, have learned to respect him. And that's not easy to get all their respect. And so he said, we got to get Looney. And Kevon, you're going to have him on. He wanted to come back. But sometimes you don't know the market of a guy. I mean, it's he could have gotten offered a ton of money, and maybe we couldn't have done that. So it was great. It was important, and he's another – people talk about the big three guys coming back. He's a fourth guy that's going to really be important for us.
The most underappreciated story of this past season was the injury he was playing through in the Toronto series.
Yeah.
Busted up ribs. I mean, that's – you mentioned it. He comes back, and it's with Kevin's injury and everything else that was taking place, that got lost in the shuffle, in my opinion. And you've been through injuries like that. Grueling to try to get out there. And Gasol was going right for him every time.
You know, that's interesting because he was there was a point in the game in Toronto where – and I heard this later because that was the same night I think Kevin got hurt. And so we were in the back, and then we saw Looney come in. And everybody's like, wow. You know, we knew he was playing hurt.
Right.
And, you know, the best part of that was Kevon wanted to keep playing, and Andre Iguodala basically hit him, like, you can't play, man. You got to get out of the game. And you know, that's like a teammate in professional sports going, you thanks for trying. That's a teammate telling you, you're done. And Kevon kind of, because at some point you got to use, he couldn't lift his arm up.
Couldn't move.
And, no, that's hard because you want, guys like that, but now you know you want to protect. It's such a hard dynamic. It's like in the Super Bowl, if he had something going on, that's our Super Bowl, and he wants to play, and that's what you play all year, all your whole life for, and then to not be able to do it, it's almost like you get put in this place where you go, if there's anything I can do, I'm going to try and play. And but yeah, man, he's that's kind of who he is. We had a lot of guys like that. We're fortunate.
And how hard was that, the frustration of the Kevin Durant part of that with the injury and Kevin wanting to come back and then the narrative maybe being that he's being pushed back and all of the disinformation, and yet all he wants to do is play basketball. How tough was it, not only obviously with the injury, but leading up to it and having to deal with all the misinformation that was out there?
That's part of it. You know, it's hard because that's the time of year, again, like the Super Bowl. It's just it's nothing else to talk about but the NBA Finals. And so whether it's that or anything else, everything gets heightened, and sometimes things get heightened, and there's got to be, you know, you guys got to do your show. Everybody's got to have a comment on it, an opinion. And, you know, you try to get as informed as you can, but sometimes, you know, we're not just giving out all kinds of information. So people have the right, and they think, well, this is what I think. And sometimes what people think can be damaging, you know, but I understand it's your job. You know, you may say something, or you guys, that's okay, that's your job, but that does, it is something we got to deal with, and we deal with the best we can. But most importantly, what was hard was those guys were hurt.
Right.
That's what we deal with. The hard part for us is we're trying to win a championship, and they can't play. And then when Clay got hurt, I mean, man, that one was just, at some point you just say, this isn't supposed to happen.
Right.
This is not supposed to happen. And, you know, because we were in that game, and maybe, you know, you don't want to go back, but maybe we win that game and see what happens in a game seven. But that one, too, when I was back in the locker room, and the doc kind of says, hey, he might be an ACL. I was like, what are you talking? You know, what do you mean? Like, Kevin just had an Achilles the game before, and now we got ACL. And at that point, I was just, well, honestly, I hate to say this, I was watching that game six, at our last game at Oracle, just sitting there watching, thinking, I hope nobody gets hurt.
No?
That's not what you want to be thinking in an NBA Finals game. You want to be thinking of it. But anyway.
How do you protect guys from yourself? Because, you know, I've been out there on the field and go in the locker room, take the Toradol, whether it's in the neck, whether it's, epidural in the neck or whatever it may be, or shot in the butt. And you want to play. Guys want to play. So it's like, what's that balance, you know, when you're like, you know, I saw you grab Clay. You know, Clay, come on. You have to go out there and physically grab him. This guy's going to want to still go out. How do you protect guys, and how far do you let them? Because you know how we are. We're going to be like, no.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, it's the Super Bowl, whatever it may be. I don't care. I play with a rip hamstring, whatever, any means necessary. So how do you guys find that balance where you're like, no, you can't do it?
So in that Clay story, he was in the tunnel, and he just got hurt, and he walked back, and he was in the back room, and somebody ran out, one of the assistant coaches, and says, you can't go back in the game unless you shoot your free throws. So if you want to play in this game again, you got to go out and shoot.
That part was awesome.
And we didn't really know what was going on. So we walk back out, and then the fans go crazy.
You know, that was a rocky moment.
It was unbelievable. It was probably my favorite moment ever.
It was awesome.
But not great, because this guy's hurt. So it's one of those memorable moments. So you're walking back, and Clay says, I'm shooting the free throws. Because he said, if I don't shoot them, I can't play. And we said, I'm shooting the free throws. So I grabbed Clay. I said, listen, shoot the free throws. Do not run back on. Just shoot the free throws and stay there. Just stay at the free. Do not run back. He shoots the free throws.
He runs back.
Yes. And so what are you talking? I mean, so I'm sitting there in my role. I'm semi-important. And I'm telling the guy, don't do this. But maybe you would have done the same. Hey, Lo, make this one play. Just don't move. And then all of a sudden, you're blocking
and
you come back, and I go, what are you doing? And you go, hey, I just, what I do, it's a Super
playing
Bowl,
defense.
Man. So I don't know. I will say this, even in football now, guy gets his bell rung.
Right.
Used to be nothing.
No, smell is all crazy. Wow, it's crazy now.
Right, they put him on the tent, but that's probably better, right? I mean, it's better, isn't it? I mean, to just make sure the guy doesn't have anything going. So it's getting better. Basketball's got stuff like that. It'll never be perfect. It just can't.
No sport
will. We're
talking
about human beings. It's a boxer throwing the towel. I don't know. I mean, you know, that's hard to do.
Bob Myers with us here on 95.7 The Game. I know we only have a couple minutes left with you. Peter King, who's one of the best in the business at covering football, he has access to these stories where he will take you behind the scenes and lay out the 48 hours it took to sign this guy or to trade for this guy. I know you can't get into all the details, but what was that situation like, start a free agency with Durant? You guys are obviously trying to bring him back into the mix. You know there's other teams recruiting him, the chance you could lose him. And then D'Angelo Russell ends up with the Warriors. I know it's going to be impossible to bring this down to 2 or 3 minutes, but like, what was just take me through that.
That was crazy. I was in New York.
And are you sleeping at all?
Not much. I mean, I'd flown out, not a lot. So that day when I saw Kevin, I'd left after we talked, and I was with him for a couple hours. We talked about a lot of different things, and I left, and it was the Gay Pride Parade in New York City. Which is fine, which is great. I walked out. I didn't know where I was. I kind of got swept up in the parade. And I'm trying to call Joe and say, hey, you know, he's not coming back. What are we going to do? You know, blah, blah, blah. And so, first of all, I couldn't hear anything. And I was in Greenwich Village.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to get around. So I found finally an area. So I started calling. You know, I called Joe and said, hey, this is the deal. And called the people I work with in my front office. And I said, here's what we want to try and do now. We want to see what we can do with him. What options do we have? What can we do? And then we had, you know, people forget, Kevin didn't have to do anything as far as cooperate. Brooklyn had space to sign him, which means Kevin could have said, see you later.
Bye-bye.
So right. I talked to his guy, talked to Kevin, said, if we figure out some kind of sign and trade, will you work with us? And he, you know, he's like, yeah, we'll figure something out. I didn't know we'd have to figure it out that night. So I was in New York City. I didn't go to bed till 4 or something in the morning. But the crazy thing was the whole league was still working because I was back. Joe and his son Kirk Lacob and our other assistant GM Larry Harris were back in L.A. And I said, we may have this thing going with Russell, D'Angelo Russell. Can you go to his agent's office and see his people? So it was all kind of, Joe, it'd be fascinating. Like, I've always wanted myself to go to the baseball winter meetings or the NFL Combine. Because I've seen the NBA, it's fun, it's crazy, but my words, you got to just be sitting there. And I think what you would walk away, this free agency was like a stockbroker on the floor. That's how crazy that was. By itself, it was just insane. And when you don't get something done, it's gone. So there's a finite amount of time to get a deal done. Because and these players, the ones that are great, they move fast. You know, they're not sitting there. Like, Bryce Harper sat there for 2 months, right? These guys sit. Our guys are bam. Like, they're gone fat, and that's no recovering. So,
Did you know the time?
I'd tell you the whole thing.
Man.
But it's there's a lot riding on it, too, because that's your moment. You don't get stuff done, and people come to the arena, and, it, you know, it's not as not as good as we want it to be. So it's fast.
Guys caught up in a parade in Greenwich Village.
Trying to wheel and deal on time.
Man, that's
Joe,
crazy, bro.
I can't that's hear you, Joe.
Like, that's, I wore the wrong shoes over here today. I got blisters. Those
somebody,
are my problems.
Someone in the parade is like, you don't want to be here. I said, I got no problem with the parade. It's fine. I just got to work.
Right.
I said, I can't work.
America in 2019.
That's crazy.
Guy is caught up.
I said, Joe, no, by the way, fine. I'm okay, but I got to
only 6'6 guy in the crowd with his thumb to his ear.
That's phenomenal.
When you see Steph the other day was playing in Mr. Fab's tournament.
Yeah.
When you see him out there, do you get nervous?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, of course.
Sure. The clip where Fab knocks down the winner, Steph's just very casual. He's wearing the old Warrior shorts that he wore for the parade a couple years ago. He's just very casually jogging down the court, but you're sitting there and you're like, damn,
what
Steph.
You
can't bubble wrap him, but still.
You know what? We joke. He comes to practice, and I go, thanks for taking some time to come to our practice today.
He's
got TV shows. He's got his wife's doing his cooking. But he
ran my kids' camp in Oakland all summer.
Yeah, no, he's
out.
You know what he's great at that I envy him for is he is great at having fun. He is so good at that. I envy that because I'm not built like that. So as the journey goes, having been around him for 8 years, that type of experience, that stuff – he just has a way. If you come to our first shoot around, he's kicking the ball, throwing it up. Even in between games where he's getting criticized, he always has this lightness about him.
Right.
Which in professional sports, man, it's hard to find.
It really is.
It's hard to find.
How do you find that balance? Because you've been, on the top of the mountain for a while. How do you find the balance of it's just a job and it's still a game? When you're playing, or if the team's not as well, what's that? You know what I mean? Because I lost and people don't want to be around me.
Yeah.
I lose a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not fun to be around.
Yeah.
How do you find that balance?
That's tough.
It is.
It's tough. I mean, when we were the morning, I was going to fly out to see Kevin in New York. I was sitting with my daughter, and she said, "Daddy, you got to go to New York." I said, "Yeah." My 9-year-old, I said, and my 7-year-old, they kind of get it a little bit. And I said, they said, "What if he doesn't come back?" And I said, "Well." I said, all that is he's just picking a different place to go to work. That doesn't mean, you stop. What if one of your friends went to a different school? Does that mean they're bad people or you don't like your friendship with them? So to that point, though, the problem is this is, I don't know how you guys live in your life, but I can't. I want it to be that way, but it's just not. Because most people's job, they don't go to the coffee shop and they go, hey, great job with Looney. Like, I'm just trying to get a cup of coffee, man. Or like, what happened last night? I'm walking down the street, people are like, you guys lost Durant. And my daughter's like, what did that guy say, Daddy? And I was like, nah, he's just, nah, nah. I don't know. Most people's jobs, they don't get that.
Right.
So, but you go home and you go, it's my job. I love it. That's a part of it. And but you can't. The hardest thing is the family, right? Because I don't know if you're married or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the professional sports, you're kind of bringing your family along for the ride. Taking your kids to Raw when they're 2.5 years old,
yeah.
Stuff like that. that doesn't make sense.
Good parents, doesn't make any sense. She looked at me. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. It's going to be great. It's going to be great." The building's right over there, so you don't have anything to worry about.
You're gonna have just one kid tonight, honey. No,
I read this a while ago in a story. I wanted to ask you about this. Tell me about these pickup games you play with Kobe.
At
Westwood?
No, that was a long time ago.
You guys don't do that anymore?
Long time ago. No more. No, he. When I first started in the business, he Arne Tellem represented Kobe.
Yeah.
He's the first guy when I interned. As an agent, first guy, I remember this, I walked into Brentwood, L.A., where I'm to UCLA, and sat down and was waiting to meet with Arne. Kobe walks into the office, and he had on a Joe Montana, remember the retro jersey?
Yeah, absolutely.
He had a Joe Montana thing, and Kobe, this is the genius, and you may have played with athletes like this. I just met him that day. Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm my intern here. Okay, great. And he found a way to tell me he's going to win 10 championships. And he was 19, 20 years old, and he looked at me like, this is what's going to happen for me. And you look at him, you go, you're crazy. Nobody's winning 10 championships. But he had this bravado that I think, for some people, made him hard to deal with. But that's the type of guy you want in your organization. He would destroy to win. I mean, he has his competitiveness, the highest level of a competitor.
There's that story of him over in London for the Olympics where he was on the Olympic team, and someone tells the story at the team doctor where he went and he called the guy at 3 a.m. and said, I'm going to go get my workout in. I need to be stretched out and all that. So the guy goes, Kobe's putting up shots. He goes through this whole routine. It's like 3 hours long.
Kobe says goodbye to the guy. Guy goes back, gets some sleep. It's like 10:30. He wakes up. He comes back to the gym because the team's practice is going to start. So, like, Melo's there and other guys are just warming up. Guy walks in. Kobe's still there shooting. Kobe's been there for 7 hours working. He sees Kobe, and Kobe's like, hey, did you get some sleep? He's like, yeah, what about you? He goes, no, I'm just, you know, I'm just finishing up my routine, and now we're getting ready for practice. He went through 6 or 7 hours of working out for the Olympic team before he even started the practice, which was a full-on scrimmage.
There's certain guys, like Michael Jordan was that way. Like Steve Kerr will tell me, B.J. Armstrong, who I used to work with, tell me stories about Michael Jordan. They'd be out or something, it'd be 2 a.m, and he'd say, look, let's, 5 o'clock in my room, let's start watching film of the game, the other team we're going to play. And it's just inhuman. Like, these guys don't need sleep. I mean, it's crazy. And I don't know if that's the competitiveness that drives them, but the way I think their mind works is they're going to find an edge. Nobody's going to outwork them. And they have this fear of being outworked or beaten. And I think, you know, and as an athlete, when you're around people like that, Draymond's got a little bit of this. They so hate that feeling of losing, they have to do every single thing to avoid. They don't love winning. Kobe Bryant doesn't love him. He just hates to lose. And that's a bigger driver than winning. You know, like, you know, gambling, stuff like that. It's like, people that
I'm trying not to lose, I'll tell you that much.
But here's the problem, though. With gambling, like, I think to actually gamble, you got to love to win. Because if you just hate to lose, you're not going to be a gambler. Mm-hmm. You got to like the winning. But some of these professional athletes, the best, they hate to lose so much. But that makes them kind of hard to be around people. Like, Steph's not like that. Steph enjoys it. But certain guys Kevin Garnett was that way. Just hate to lose. Can't lose. Can't have that feeling. But that's where you get guys like that. And Kobe's certainly one of them. But fantastic player. Unbelievable.
There's, like, no easy way to do this. But, like, Lakeb's here. I'm not trying to kick you out. But what do? I keep him waiting? Yeah. Like, what are you doing in this spot?
Start thinking about it. Yeah. You know what he likes?
He looks good.
No, vintage cars. Bring that up with the lackey. You're going to make that.
Do I look like a guy that has any knowledge on vintage cars? what kind of advice is that?
Ask about that.
Tell him you get him a Studebaker.
I got my pitch ready, all right? You know, if you thought I was... I'm not going for lackey. I'm actually aiming higher. It was all a big ruse to get him over.
Gotcha. And you settle for lackey.
Right. He'll get to a point where he just caves. He's like, fine, you can be the lackey. He's like, yes.
He's hired.
Bob Myers, thank you so much. Show low and things on 5-5-7.
We'll go easy on low.
Thank you very much.
We'll take it easy on the big side.
Low courtside, anytime you want.
That's my man. Yeah.
Myers, huge knock. Huge knock in my book. The Lakers call, pick it up. All right. Joe Lowe and Dibs, we're at Chase Center, 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us today. Special presentation brought to you by Dialpad, our friends at Dialpad, on the guest line now. You know him. You love him. He's delivered for you in every way imaginable. He is the owner of your Golden State Warriors, Mr. Joe Lacob, with us here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you.
That is a tremendous outfit, a beautiful shirt with the team warm-up pants. Can you take me through that decision?
Should I take the shirt out?
You know what? You're the type of guy that you get to call that shot. Like, no one really probably tells you how you got to go about your business. Isn't that nice?
This is your house. You built this, by the way,
like,
right?
Look at this.
This is your house.
This is, let's just say I'm going to remember this morning.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, all the years to put into this, all the work, all the BS you probably had to get through. Now you're sitting here, you're looking around at what's just about a finished product. How does it feel?
Not finished yet.
Incredible.
It's close, though. It's close. No, we're really excited. I just, honestly, it's hard to put into words. 7 years. 7 years. 2.5 years to build it, which seems impossible when you look at all of it, but 7 years of work, not by just me, but everybody in our organization. They weren't hired. I don't think they thought about that when they came to the team. They wanted to be involved in a basketball team and run a business and... instead, we're developers.
Right.
And probably the hardest development in the Bay Area's history, I mean, in terms of how complicated this building is and how much work it was to do. So we're really excited about it. We hope everyone loves it as much as we do. And we hope it is as great as we think it is.
It's unbelievable. It's beautiful, a venue. We came here this morning an hour early just to walk around. It's absolutely spectacular. It's like when you think about your journey and think about what you did and when you bought this team and from Rick Barry coming out saying, what are you guys doing? This is horrible. Booing. All the different things that the process you've been through. Who would have thought that you'd be here today? And was it ever a time you're like, what did I do? Why am I behind this team? What direction am I going in now today? You built Dorner Dynasty?
What's that about booing?
I mean, that was a different building.
That's a different building.
That's the old place. This place is rose petals.
This is Garden Eden.
I got to cut you off. He's got breaking news for us today. He has a special announcement that we were bringing you here for specifically, Mr. Lacob. I present the floor to you.
Well, I do want to announce today that we have renewed our partnership with 95.7.
Yeah!
Look at that.
And even you guys.
Look at that, yeah. That's actually in the official release. Yeah. Even you guys.
You bums get to come with.
It's been a great relationship the last 3 years, and here we are. We're ready to do it again. And coincident with moving into this great place, I mean, it's pretty good.
It's absolutely pretty good, Joe. And we have been together for 3 years as a show, so we feel like we've kind of coincided with the championship run, our own championship run as well. And as a Warrior fan going on almost 50 years, to see where this organization is in this building and on our station, it's extra special for me personally.
Well, thank you. It's look, this is I actually have told people winning a championship was really hard. Winning three was even harder. But getting this building done and open and is one of the most rewarding experiences I can – it's just hard to explain to anybody. There's been so much involved. I said the opening night I might cry because that's how hard this thing was. And it's you know, it makes me proud. I think that not only – we did this with private money, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm making a point of that only because we're proud of it. I think we have a right to say that. And, you know, we didn't take away from fire, police, and schools and all the things that need it. We figured out a way, even though it's way over budget, to pay for it. And it's been unbelievably, you know, it's the most expensive arena ever built, and by a long way. And that's partially because of building costs in San Francisco and partially because we did it pretty well with a lot of nice things. So we're really happy with it. But more than that, I'm excited about the customer experience and how everyone who comes to this arena, whether you're sitting in the highest seats up on that corner on the end line or you're sitting down on the floor, you have a great experience. Great food. Food's really important to me.
This is the town for it.
This is the town for it. And we brought in all the local food. You know, guys, you probably have seen all those already. Hot dog bills from the Olympic Club. Unless you're a golfer, you've never really seen that before. That's awesome. We brought in Bakes Till Betty's from Oakland. The local vendors and many more. Tacolicious. So I think that's going to make for a really unique custom experience for people. That quality of food, the quality of the clubs, no matter where you sit in the arena, it's not... You know, I'll be honest with you, I can't stand the term, elitist, wine sipping, all that stuff you hear about new buildings, because they're new. This is new. It's clean. It's all that. But it's a lot more than that. It's the lowest ceiling, or the second lowest ceiling of any arena in the NBA, which creates a sound. We wanted it to be an intimate, basketball-focused arena, the greatest basketball venue in the world. That's what our main goal was. We'll see if we achieved it, but we think we did. And so all those things, that customer experience, that loudness, the experience. And by the way, the fans, are 70% of our fans from Oakland came over.
That's awesome.
So I think they were loud there. I think they'll be loud here, too.
Yeah, I would say so.
And how important was that to kind of build that bridge with Bake Sale Betty's and other East Bay vendors coming over to kind of symbolically show the fans that it's still the East Bay's team, it's Peninsula's team, it's everybody's team? That was obviously a conscious effort to do that.
It was, and you just said it better than I could say it. We
Look
are
at you. I'm hired,
you're,
coach.
You're hired. Watch out, Ritter. Here comes the PR guy.
Footsteps, Ritter. Footsteps.
You put it more succinctly than Raymond did.
And he's succinct. Believe me.
No, it really is. It's we are the Bay Area's basketball team. I've said that from day one, and we have, and that's how we feel about it. Look, 47 years in Oakland. We were 9 in San Francisco before that. We're back here. These things happen. You move around. But I think the access is going to be great. Everything about it is good. And by the way, we still have our facilities in Oakland. We didn't move them. We got our expanded camps business there. We've got our foundation base there.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're very focused on Oakland as well.
You mentioned about the customer experience. It's the perfect segue. I'd like to apply for a job. Don't say yes or no now. Don't say yes or no now.
Mull it over.
You're the type of individual who's going to want to think this through. Sounds crazy, but just hear me out. Ambassador of Mission Bay. I live a block away. I was here 5 years before you guys ever broke ground. Both children were born at the hospital right next door. Only media guy living in the neighborhood. I would like to be the bridge for you to the people of this community. I know this community inside and out. These fools thought I was going to apply to be your lackey, which I'll do that too. that's open, I will gladly take that job. That's the one I'd kind of settle for because I'm sure it'd be pretty cool. Ambassador to Mission Bay.
Is this an internship or a paid position?
Doesn't have to be paid, but if there's some sort of like little pass that gets me in the building.
I thought we just renewed. Right. We just renewed.
Yes. Yeah.
We just renewed this 957 thing.
I waited until after the ink ride. Now I'm coming in for more. You can't back out now, Lakers.
We were always taught it's yes and.
Raymond, write that down.
Mission Bay Ambassador, I'm your guy.
He just
I'm
wrote, your guy. There it is, Joey. It's been confirmed. It's been confirmed.
Not even a capital N. It's the lowercase N for no.
Oh, boy. Wasn't even a, we'll call you with our answer on Monday.
None of that. We won't even send the lackey to tell you no.
Wow.
In this building, people, as they come in for different concerts, different events, they're going to get to see so much. For you personally, is there something in here that no one's really aware of necessarily behind the scenes that you look forward to enjoying? You have so many different club levels, private levels, events. I mean, I'm just looking up there for the upper bowl. The Modelo Lounge? That looks like it's going to be a blast.
I'm going to tell you something. I came in here for 4 hours on Sunday. We had a season ticket holder event. There were 7,000, I think, people.
Oh, the whole neighborhood was crawling.
They're all in here. And I knew that if I walked around, I was going to get bombarded for pictures and all that stuff. To hell with it. I did it anyway. It was fun. I wanted to see what people thought about it, because they're paying the freight. They're the guys buying the tickets. And we had tremendous response. But so I walked all over. I was down on the floor. I was down in this club over here. And I was down in the J.P. Morgan Club. Then I went up to the Pepsi Club, which is the third one down up there. And then I went up to the Modelo Club. And honestly, I remember when I was a kid, my favorite place to hang out in this whole place would be up there. That thing's unbelievable. I mean, look at it. It's fun. It's a great seats. There's a great bar behind it and food and all this stuff. I was like, that made me feel so good because the farthest, really, honestly, the farthest seat from the floor on the end, way up top, and it was a tremendous experience. Awesome. The people up there were like going crazy. So that is one of my favorite places in the whole arena for that reason. There's a lot of other good ones too.
Yeah. Yeah, when we're not above coming in and checking all that stuff out with you if you need like hangers on.
Well, that's where the media's going up there anyway.
Yeah.
That's so great.
We've already taken up a ton of your time. Joe Lacob, owner of the Golden State Warriors. Listen, thank you for having us out. Congratulations on what you have accomplished here. I can't really put it in the words. And thank you again. We look forward to the relationship, 95.7 The Game, the Golden State Warriors, continuing on with you guys. It's been awesome for us.
Thank you.
Awesome to be a part of all of this.
We feel the same.
Much.
We feel the same. Let's do it.
Good luck this year, Joe.
All right.
Thanks. You're the best. Thank you.
Joe Lacob, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Lacob.
Thanks, guys.
Good. Your future boss, question mark? Or did that not go as the way we had planned?
I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking.
It's a great effort, though. I like Ambassador of Mission Bay.
It was good.
It's really good.
Well, you would think. There's a lot going on in this neighborhood. A lot of people very interested about how the relationship's going to work between the citizens who are here with their children and their pets and their parking and all this. And then there's the individual who can alleviate all the concerns, who understands both sides.
Coach, we could have used you this morning. We were outside and multiple media people were saying, oh, where's the entrance? Where do I go? Where do I park? If only there were an Ambassador of Mission Bay out there, you could have solved all the problems in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
So
that's what I've been saying, Dibs. Thank you for reiterating it, but that's what I'm trying to tell these guys around here. I was told they were cutting edge. I was told that this is supposed to be an organization that thinks outside the box.
Sure.
Here's your box. I'm standing outside it. I'm burning the box to the ground. Forget about the box when it comes to me.
Ooh, I need a shower after that. That was good.
Yeah. So are you going to shower here? Because all day you've been thinking about that. What do you think of these chicken sandwiches versus Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A? This is Bake Sale Betty's? This thing's fantastic.
Bake Sale Betty's brought over from Oakland. Shout out to Temescal. And I know the Warriors have gone to great lengths to try to connect the different parts of the Bay. And I'm glad that that's one of the things they brought over. Although I'm not a big chicken sandwich guy, Bake Sale Betty's is second to none.
The vegetarian rolls were good. Me and you tried. They were awesome, too. So.
Lumpia. Yeah. Lumpia. They were made by Impossible Burger. So it's Impossible Burger Lumpia.
Have you had one of those yet?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
Really good. Delicious. The intermittent fasting put on hold today as all this free food is being hurled at us from all sides.
There's one thing we learned talking with Bob about Steph. Got to live. Got to enjoy life.
Yeah.
Don't have to intermittent fast every day.
I'm going to try to live with more joy.
Intermittently.
Makes perfect sense. I'm going to live with more joy like Steph Curry does.
Yeah.
And just like you were saying, Mr. Fab had this party, pickup basketball game. He's out there running and shooting and jumping. And It's funny you asked him that because I was having the same reaction of like, Steph, be careful.
Be careful, right.
You know, don't roll, tweak, or bump, or nudge.
It's unfair to those guys. It really is because they want to live their life. But as a fan, as an owner, as a coach, you see it. You know what their worth is. Their worth is astronomical, not just from the ability to create wins and moments, just as a healthy guy. So many people look up to him. So many people just admire him. And to just, I don't know. He's a fascinating human being. He does really seem as if he's found that rare balance that everyone looks for to compete at the highest level, to try to get as much fulfillment out of his career as possible while not sacrificing anything on the family side of the equation,
yeah,
while still enjoying his life. I mean, you, for 16 years, you probably had to wrestle with that because at the beginning, you weren't married, you didn't have kids. Then the kids and the misses come into the picture. It's like, how do you balance all that out?
That's why it's great to just talk to the different guys, watching, talking to Joe and, you know, the GM, and you listen at his story, how he's talking to his little daughter and his son, and being able to balance it, man, because it's tough. Sometimes you don't want to snap, and you're short with your family, and you're like, man, and they'll tell you, hey, why are you taking it out on me? You know, I'm not the one who knocked you out. Sometimes you have to step away and understand it's just a game. Understand that life is going to go on with or without you, whether you're playing ball or not. And it's hard sometimes for you to be able to, you know, separate those feelings from reality.
Like when Bob was saying, when yes, someone's like, hey, why'd you get rid of exactly Kevin Durant? Your exactly 9-year-old is saying,
right, Dad, what's wrong, Dad?
Yeah, Dad, why did you get rid of Kevin Durant? Well, it's just not that simple, you know, to be out there. Like Joe was saying, he was here for the season ticket holder event and thousands of people and people want to take pictures with him and let's get out there and enjoy it. And ultimately, he's as big a fan as any of those other fans who are here.
How about Myers? He listens to the show every day. How about that? And, I mean, I always knew, but it's nice to have him publicly come out and say he's listening to the show pretty much every minute of every day.
And I love him. He gets a great take. You hear the guy just, you know, he's...
It's garbage take. The whole take it easy on low thing.
It's a great
That's
man.
The whole key to the show.
Yeah, no, Joe, I think he's right. And you remember
Thank
those,
you.
Remember
Thank
those
you.
Days where we clicked it all the way back and we went out of our way to make sure that Lowe was in
Not
the safe?
Not you.
Yeah, remember how long that lasted?
Yeah, it lasted a few days. Like, I'm just sitting
right,
here listening.
Right.
Sitting here listening, guys. Sitting here listening. All right, we got back for a minute. When we're back, Kevon Looney of the Golden State Warriors. Don't go anywhere. Joe Lo and Dibs live from Chase Center here on 95.7 The Game.
All right, what's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Dial Pats. Breaking news, the Warriors aren't going anywhere. The Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game have agreed to a new contract. Here's owner Joe Lacob with the news.
We're ready to do it again, and coincident with moving into this great place, I mean, it's pretty good.
You can listen to all Warrior games right here on 95.7 The Game, and Joe Lo and Dibs are live at Chase Center this morning, giving you a preview of the Dubs' new home, and we've had some great Warrior guests all day, and joining the guys next is a cornerstone to the squad, Kevon Looney. Will hop on right after the break. Remember, you can take 95.7 The Game on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Dial Pad is changing the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud. Put a business line on your cell phone and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dial Pad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. I'm Anna Kukodak. He's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
We go to the Dial Pad guest line now, even though he's directly in front of us. Warrior big man Kevon Looney with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing well. How you feeling, man? You took a beating in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I think we all did. I'm getting better. I'm finally feeling healthy. I had a great summer, been working out really hard, and I'm ready for next year.
New contract's got to help, right?
Yeah, definitely.
How's
helps,
that
with, helps with a whole lot.
A little smile on the face.
I heard he's the big reason why I got paid.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him some credit.
You know what's that smell? New money. Yeah. New money. Man. I go get it, boy. No.
For 2 years, he's been. And here's the thing. This is the guy that's been trying to undercut Garoppolo from the beginning. He has been as high a fan of yours from day one. You have seen it from the beginning. He's been singing your praises, man. That toughness, that grit. That's the type of thing he used to play with.
Yeah, thanks for y'all's support, man.
Question. All of us thought that you, man, what you've been kind of like that glue. Draymond's the glue. You're one of those glue guys. And just the way you went about your business, brother, that we just always appreciate the way you played. And battling with this injury, how were you able to get through those things? Was just a mindset, the trainer? I mean, because, I mean, actually, bro, if you were ruled out and you still were able to step out there on the court and play at a high level.
Yeah, it was a combination of both. No, the doctors took great care of me. Got me the proper treatment so I can go out there and play. And other than that, it was just my mind. You know, I had to go out there and those things were hurting me. Just block it out. You know, just say if I keep playing hard, sometimes like I just got 5 more minutes left. I can do anything for 5 minutes. So it was just fighting through it. Then seeing guys out there like Andre hurt out there, hurt Clay out there hurt. Knowing that KD went out there, put his body on the line. Just like, all right, if them guys can do it, I can do it too. So
I was praying for you.
Yeah, appreciate it, awesome. Man.
Yeah, me and Dibs was praying.
The thing is, he gets hurt, and you get the diagnosis on the injury. It's like, man, he's done. Hopefully, he's ready for the start of next year.
Yeah.
The next game, they're like, yeah, Looney's going to try to go tonight. I'm reading this. I'm like, what the hell? What are you talking about?
Glue him up.
And
let's go
out there playing. Gasol was going right for you.
Yeah, he was.
What'd you say to him?
Man, I just chalked it up to the game, man, because I know if I was him, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I couldn't blame him. So, but I just went out there, you know, I couldn't miss no finals game. You know, everybody don't have a chance to play in the finals, and I wasn't going to let an injury out like that just put me out. You know, I didn't want to have no regrets or, man, if I'd have played those last two games, man, I would have did this. I wanted to go out there and lay it all on the line, and I did that.
And it's that championship pedigree, and, you know, you look at your personal game and the evolution of your game, you know, from going through the injuries early on and now turning into a legitimate offensive weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How excited are you for this season to know you're going to get more burn, you'll probably get more touches, more shots? It's going to be a big year for you.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm really excited. You know, I'm a lot more on my shoulders this year. I'm really excited for that. You know, that's what you work hard for all summer and your whole career, if I have a chance to go out there and improve yourself. So each year I try to get better and add something new to my game. And this year I think I can add a lot. I can do a lot more on offensive end and continue what I do and take my defense to the next level. So I'm really excited to show people what I can do. You know, playing on our team, we got a lot of great players, and people don't get to see everything you can do. But this year it's going to be a little different with guys being hurt. There's a lot more opportunity out there. I'm willing to go out there and show what I can do.
Kevon Looney with us here on 95.7 The Game. What was it like in the playoffs 2 years ago? I remember the Houston series. You were out there, and that game was moving so fast.
Yeah.
And then take that experience from 2 years ago and apply it to this year. Do you feel like you grew a lot when it came to competing in the playoffs?
I grew a whole lot. You know, that first year, I was scared. that's the only way you can say it. I went out there, and I didn't play. I played a lot towards the end of the season, but the beginning of the season, I wasn't playing as much. And then to go in and just be thrown into that atmosphere where now I'm holding, like, the best players in the league every night.
Just straight all-stars
all-star
on the court.
Yeah, and the Hall of Fame players, and I got to go out there, and I got that assignment. And coach and my team is expecting me to do my job. So I was kind of nervous, but it gave me a lot of confidence going into my last season. I felt really good about myself. I feel like I'll prove myself and I earn my respect as an NBA player. You know, at first I felt like I was on the border. It can go either way. That's what people thought, and I went out there and proved myself. And then going to the next season, going to the playoffs, I feel like experience, and I knew what it took to be a champion, and it really carried off for me.
After all was said and done with free agency, the team said, have you been busting Steph at all that he's the old guy on the team now?
He's the oldest guy on the team. A little bit. That's crazy. It's crazy to me. We usually have, like, a really old guy.
Old heads, man. David West. He's 50.
I've been, like, the youngest guy on the team for, like, the last 4 or 5 years. And so now that I'm now I feel like I'm right in the middle. So I've been saying, we've got these young guys now. Like, I'm old. They're really about the same age as me. So coach always calls me the youngest vet in the NBA. So that's a good title for me. And I'm excited to see the guys come on our team, a lot of younger guys. I got another guy from Milwaukee with me. So I'm excited for our team this year.
When did you know you belong? Like, you know, from injuries, from UCLA, you know, think about where the travel, how you traveled and your journey in the NBA. When did you know that you belonged in the NBA, especially with all the injuries you went through?
I knew from the so I had a lot of confidence in myself. So my rookie year, after coming off injury, I told myself, like, everything was moving so fast, but I knew exactly where to be. I was just a half second late every time. So I'm like, man, if I can work out this summer and I get in shape, I can do it. I know where I'm supposed to do. I know what's supposed to happen. I didn't feel out of place, but after I got my body in great shape, going into my third year and playing all summer at UCLA, playing with a lot of pro guys, and I really felt good about myself. But when I knew I belonged was going into my third season, and I probably missed, like, I didn't play like the first 10 games, and I think it was a game versus the Wizards, and Draymond got ejected at halftime.
You don't say that.
You'd be like, Dray, get him, Dray.
Must have been a misunderstanding.
Yeah. So coach started me the second half, and I had a great game. I'm like, I can do this. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I feel confident about myself. And then everything that I worked on that summer, it came out in that game. Like, I belong here in this league.
And now this past summer, you're now an established NBA player, and you went overseas to Japan. Is that right? What was that experience like? And what was your summer like?
It was a lot of fun in Japan. I got to see a lot of stuff. And it was actually a part of a camp. I was seeing a lot of high school guys. And it's crazy that I used to be that in those camps like 4 or 5 years ago. So for me to be on the other side as a coach and as the NBA player, where they asked me these questions, it was a lot of fun. It felt kind of weird at first.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of great talent there. But then I got to explore Japan and see everything. See all. It was a lot of shopping over there. So I got to spend some of my new money.
Yeah. Yeah, once you signed that deal, what's the first thing you bought?
Well, I had to move, so I had to move over to San Francisco. So that
you're living in the city now.
Yeah, I'm living in the city now. It's different.
How you liking it?
I'm liking it a lot. I'm still trying to get used to it. Got to find my new route to the arena and find some new food spots. You know. It's been I see a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to be on a diet, but I see all these good food spots in my neighborhood. Like, man, I got to try at least once. So,
Joe here is the official ambassador of Mission Beach. Yeah. Okay.
Mission Bay. If you're going to do it, I live right down
Mission
the street.
Mission Beach, San Diego.
I am here for you. Whatever you need, okay. I got all the food spots on lock.
So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you now. I'm a wing connoisseur. I need the best wing spot in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I just need a recommendation, because that's my go-to. When I have a cheat meal, I need some buffalo wings.
Okay, I got you. So my wife is from outside Buffalo, New York, the home of the Buffalo Wing.
Right.
So I had to run this by her. It was a year ago. I put it out on social. I said, I need the best wings in town. The Bills are playing on. I think it was Monday night.
Yeah.
Got to take care of the missus. Bring the best in. Place is called Teeth.
Teeth.
Okay, Teeth. It used to be called Dr. Teeth after, I think it's one of the Muppets, but then there was a lawsuit. It's a whole thing.
It's the classic player in the band.
It's over in the Mission. Weren't you just there with D'Angelo Russell?
Yes.
Over in the Mission. I saw those pictures.
Yes.
It's over there. It's called Teeth. I'll get you dialed up.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Got the wings, baby. Got the wings.
Ambassador. That's what I told you. Hire me, baby. I just want some concert tickets. That's it. We're out of time. Come on, Looney, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate it. Congratulations on all the success. Success, man. Keep it going.
All right, thanks, man.
Man, this guy playing all banged up last year. That was crazy.
Right.
We're done. We're out. We're out. We
want to
say that, yeah, we
thanks
are.
For, thanks for letting Dibs know about those gold bars, too.
Yeah, the gold bars, courtesy of Raymond Rivera. Another foot massage is coming.
You're the best.
Another foot massage.
I already found out where they are, by the way, during my last break.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm
we'll
going to Croatia.
For you tomorrow.
Maybe we'll go to Croatia.
Big shout out to all the members of the Golden State Warriors, everyone here at Chase Center, for being kind enough to have us out today. Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we've had a great time. Thank you to the Warriors for re-upping with us. The relationship continues on. 95-7 the game, the Golden State Warriors. We're your home moving forward. Don't change it out. Don't go anywhere. It's Bonte, it's Steiny, it's Guru. They're all coming up next for us. We're back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Some of the greatest moments in Warriors history happened on 95.7 The Game.
Durant for three! Way downtown!
The one-time darlings are now a dynasty.
And the relationship continues.
I do want to announce today that we have renewed our partnership with 95.7.
Yeah!
Hear every dunk.
Right hand slam!
Every three.
Ridiculous!
Every moment.
He got it!
On the home of the Golden State Warriors. 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.